I want to talk about human nature and correction. Amen. Human nature and correction. Because this is going to help us to understand the necessity of God, that we really need God. He's a necessity. Amen. Human nature and correction. Because there's something about human nature, just us naturally, that's rebellious. We rebellious by nature, naturally. Without God, we rebellious. Period. Amen. Because we're in our flesh. Huh? And flesh is not subject to God. See, we think everything is subject to God. What do you mean flesh is not subject? But the Bible says the carnal mind is not subject to God. It's talking about your fleshly mind. When you're thinking in your flesh, that's not, it says the carnal mind is not subject to God, neither can be. God is not interested in your carnal mind. He's not. He said if you're in the flesh, what? It's impossible to please him. You cannot please God in the flesh. Huh? You remember in the beginning, they didn't even know they was in flesh. Huh? Until sin, when sin came in, then they realized, wow, we naked. We in a body. You know, they didn't know that. They didn't know none of that. Because God don't deal with flesh. It's enmity against God. Huh? The two are contrary. That's why in the scriptures it says how the flesh and the spirit, God is a spirit, are warring. Huh? Constantly inside of you. That's what's going on. That's the constant war inside of all of us. The flesh and the spirit. Hmm? By nature, we want to do our own thing. You hear me? It's natural. It wants to do what it wants to do. And another thing about flesh, it wants to know everything. Amen. If you tell someone something that they heard, you know what they're going to say to you? They're going to quickly tell you, I already know that. Amen. Amen. But just because you heard something don't mean that you know it. Right. Amen. You just heard it. Amen. You know it when you do it. You. Amen. That's why God's word says be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Amen. He wants you to do it. Amen. That's when you know. So when somebody's trying to tell you something, if you heard it before and you're not doing it, don't say, oh, I know that. Just listen. Amen. Praise God. Because and the main thing is when a person goes through something, like Sister Helena went through some things. That's how she could get up there with such power and anointing. She wasn't talking about, oh, I heard that if you go through this, then this is what's going to happen. Or I heard about you. No, she went through it. So she can say, I know it's all glory. I know God would never leave me. She know it. Not because somebody told her and she heard it. Or she heard me say it. She know it. Amen. Praise God. You can tell a sinner that God is good. You know what he'll say? I know that. If you tell a sinner God is good, he's going to tell you he know that. But if you live in a sinful lifestyle, living wild and foul, you don't know God is good. You just heard it. You just heard it. Huh? You heard people say God is good who know it. Huh? That's what you did. If you were sinning, you just still, they'll say, oh, I know God is good. They don't know it. You know God is good, saints, when you submit to him. When you do his word. When you do what he tell you to do. Now you know God is good. Amen. Knowing is doing. Please believe me. The flesh is just naturally rebellious. That's why we can't let it lead us. That's why the Bible says be led by the Spirit. Amen. Not the flesh. Flesh is a mess. It wants to do exactly what it wants to do. And nobody wants to be told what to do in the flesh. And then if you interject God to somebody in the flesh, you all heard this saying, oh, hell no. What? They're enmity. If you're in the flesh, you don't want to hear nothing about God. God is correction to you. Amen. Oh, praise God. But correction is a good thing. It will keep you from going through a lot of heartaches and pain. Amen. A lot of that suffering. Because some of that suffering we do, we don't have to do. Amen. We really don't have to. We just put ourselves through it. God was always trying to tell us, I'm preaching to myself again, because he was trying to tell me so many things. Don't do that. Oh, Lord, but I can go ahead and do it. And don't do that, son. Oh, and then we make excuses and we do what we, that's flesh. See, when God is talking, we really should be obeying, but the flesh is talking too. Huh? Oh, you don't have to listen to that. That's your flesh. Huh? You know I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, okay. You know. And then when he team up with Satan and the world that's out of control right now, the three-headed monster get together, the world, Satan, and your flesh, your own will, you got something to deal with. Amen. That's when you need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Huh? You got the winning team, but you just got to get on it. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I'm saying what? Instruction is a good thing, right? Especially godly instruction. Godly correction is good, saints. Amen. And I'm going to show you why. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus, for correcting us, Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. You know them whoopings hurt every now and then, don't they? Sometimes them whoopings, when we be hard, they hurt. Huh? We be crying and everything. But thank God, his whoopings is a little different than your parents' whoopings. They have two different meanings. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord, and revelation of your word.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for allowing me to see things how you see them, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. You are in Hebrews 12.
Amen.
All right, let's look at verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that hit a couple of them principles and a couple of them appetizers. Yeah. Amen. First is saying, you know, talking about sin that doeth so easily beset us. How does sin so easily beset us? Huh? Because flesh is what? It's easy to sin in flesh. It's easy. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's why we got to be born again. So if you've never been born again and you just living in flesh, sin is easy for you. Huh? It said this, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Then it says, let us run the race with patience. Huh? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, patience is that other principle I talked about by way of little. See, when you get doing just a little positive thing, that's patient. Huh? You're not microwave like the world. The world is totally contrary to that. The world want everything win. Now. I want the food hot now. Put it in there. Let me get it quick. Can I get it in 2 minutes? I'm ready to eat. Huh? Microwave. Everything is quick in the world. Amen. And they making it that way. You know, I'm going to text you now. I want to get you that message quick. Email you. Everything. Information highway. Everything is fast. But I'm going to tell you, when you heat it up in the microwave, it do heat up fast. And it cool off fast, too. Huh? That's why a lot of people win the lottery and they still broke. Well, yeah, they got the money quick. Huh? Millions. But their mind, see, the battle is right here. If you can get the mind of Christ, it's forever. What the world give you, that lottery, that's temporary. And we see a lot of that. You know, how in the world we think, how did they blow all that money? Because we got the mind of Christ. We know if I had it, oh, Lord, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be helping this. I'm going to be going this. That's what how we think. But they think, hey, I'm going to buy me a caddy. I'm going to buy me the biggest house. I'm going to buy this. And the world is make you a consumer. Amen. So it comes fast and it goes fast. Amen. Look at verse 2. It says, now I'm saying what? Correction is good, right? Look at verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. So it says, What's the key? This is really the key right here. The key to running that race, that patient race. Yeah. He just gave it to us. I'm going to read the key again. Y'all didn't catch the key. Looking unto Jesus, the author, and if that's how you do it. The way you run the patient race is look to Jesus. Why? Because he authored your faith. He set it up. He put it in you. And he's going to do what he put in you. He's going to finish it for you. That's how you run the patient race. Look what it said. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what else will put you close to God? Y'all might have missed it. I just caught this revelation. You know what will really put you close to God? Despising the shame. Huh? Look where it put him. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne. That's where it put Jesus. See, when you start despising that mess that you live in, when I start despising, Lord, you got to get me out of this craziness. Lord, I hate this. You got to give me anything you want me to do. I'm just going to do it from this point forward. I'm not going to play. When I start despising that shame, then I got close to God. Oh, he wanted to hear that. Oh, you ready for me to use you now? Okay, good. I was like, Lord, have mercy. Woo. Oh, I gave y'all two big-time keys right there. Despising the shame and look to Jesus. Okay? He authored the faith, and he's going to finish it. Amen. And without faith, what? It's impossible to please God. Huh? Really, the currency of heaven is what? Faith. They don't use money. Money don't mean nothing in heaven. Huh? God requires faith. Huh? And he said, without it, don't come to me. Huh? When I made him that promise, look, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. Okay, well, we're going to test that faith. We're going to see, because I'm going to tell you to do some stuff. Get a car away. That's right. Sold the car. But I'm getting ready to sell this car and get some more extra money for Florida. No, I want you to sow it. Now, that took faith. Okay, well, I'm going to get this car away then. I gave the car away. Amen. It takes faith to run with God. Amen. Hearing and doing. That's how you make it work. All right, saints, look at verse 3. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. See, when you're going through and the going gets tough, remember what Christ endured. That's what it's saying. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. Amen. Remember what he endured. Sister Helene, I know when you was going through, you considered him that endured. I know you did. You leaned on him. Lord, my mom's sick. I'm going through a household, Satan running up the front and down the back. Huh? I say, wait a minute. I was brought up in you, Lord. I was taught that you could do anything. I know you leaned on him, Sister Helena. Remember what he endured. Amen. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So that's the stuff you want to remember. Huh? Did it kill you? It said you haven't resisted unto blood. He said, that's why we plead that blood of Jesus. Huh? We be talking about the blood of Jesus is against you. Huh? He resisted unto blood. It said we didn't do that, didn't it? It said, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That give us a big time hint right there. Just resist it hard unto blood. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that no more. I can't go back to that lifestyle. No. If it killed me, I'm not going back. Woo, Lord, you resisted it unto blood. Now, no, I can't do that no more. That lifestyle is a mess. Drama filled. Amen. I'm done with that. Oh, this Christian life is exciting, isn't it? Jesus resisted unto blood. Look at verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. Here we go. See, when God begins to correct you, he's saying, don't despise it. Or faint. Don't grow weary of correction. That's really what he's saying here. Amen. And what did I say in the beginning? Correction is a good thing. Amen. When you get them whoopings, it's a good thing. That's what he's saying right here. Don't despise it. Be mad at God. Lord, how did you whoop me? Like the beautiful thing is, when you receive it and you don't despise it, you'll be in the place that he wants you to be. It's like your parents. They're only doing it, they're just trying to get you to not go in a direction that they know is not going to work. That's what God does. Amen. Am I on verse 8, saints? 6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, what? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he received. There it goes. So it says, see, before we came to Christ, we had to be corrected, saints. Huh? Scourge means whooping or correction. He said, before he received you, he got to correct you. See, keep that in mind, saints. Before you come to God, you have to be corrected. Why? Because God is an awesome, perfect God. Huh? He can't be sitting up there playing with you in this mess. Amen. So he have to correct you. So then he can use you, because then when he corrects you, now he can send you out. He can use you. Huh? He'll begin to bless you tremendously to be a blessing. Huh? He wants to bless you so you can go out and be a blessing. So the first one he's going to get straight is you. Amen. First one he had to get right was me. Amen. Thank you for that too, Lord. I just thank God. The dialect of a believer is thank you, Jesus. We just always saying that because there's so much to be thankful for. Amen. Look at verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? So he's saying, if you endure it, now if you begin to start listening now, you're enduring it. Oh, I know the God is whipping me. I'm feeling it. It's hurting. I'm crying. But, Lord, I'm not going to turn my back. Amen. I'm going to start doing what you tell me to do. He said this, and then now he'll start dealing with you as a son. Amen. He said, what kind of son would you be anyway if your father didn't correct you? That's what his ending saying. Huh? Look at verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So he's saying, if you go without chastisement, you're a bastard. You don't have a father. That's what a bastard is. You don't have a father. You're fatherless. It says you're not a son. Amen. We got to know, saints, when God corrects us, we are his children. He is our father. And you know what Satan likes? I'm just going to give you all this real quick. Bonus revelation. He likes fatherless homes.
That's right.
That's what he loves. Amen. So if ain't no father in the home, like we seeing what's going on in the city right now, that's the problem. There ain't no father in the home. So now Satan run in and just destroy the whole household. Huh? He loves fatherless homes because he becomes the father. I'm the daddy now. And then he just tell you, oh, do this, kill this, do that, run this, do ram rampant on this, steal this. Because his job is to what? Kill. Is that what we watching? Before our very eyes? Amen. And it's on a bigger level than that, too, because we seeing our president what's his name? Young Kim. They get ready to clown in a minute. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. But are we worried?
No.
Oh, not at all. Amen. They fulfilling the scriptures. Amen. But if you're not in Christ, be worried. Be worried if you're not in Christ. Amen. We have a Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, look what verse 9 says. Furthermore, what does it say? We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and do what? And live. See, the difference is our fathers, when we correct us, they say, you all reverence them, huh? But shouldn't you even reverence God more who's correcting you to do what? To live. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 10 says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasures, talking about our fathers, our natural dads, but he for our what? God chastises us for what? For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, when God chastises us, it is for our profit, not his. All right, I'm going to say that again. When God chastises us, it's for whose profit? Ours. Okay? Oh, I'm saying correction is good, right? Trying to show anybody in the flesh something about correction. Amen? Look at verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, correction from God puts us at peace and in right standing with him. Amen. We want to be close to God. We want to be in right standing with him. How do you get close? Receive the correction. Amen. What did it say in that other scripture? It said, despise what? Shame. Despise and shame. Amen. When you begin to despise shame and receive the correction, look at verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but it rather be healed. Huh? It's saying, let God correct you. That's what it's saying right here. Let him correct you. 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, it says, look for anything in your life that is out of order with God. That's what it's telling you. Look, it says, look diligently, huh, for anything that's out of order with God. Look at verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. We know Esau sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward when he would, and you know what? Okay, let me, I don't want to do a dry by on that one. He sold his birthright. But right before all that happened, it was telling us, look for stuff in our life diligently, amen, and get rid of it. Look for things that is out of order and get rid of it. Because the little things, what happened? Get big. Amen. We just flipped the little principle and made it positive and see how positivity, just a little bit of that, gets big too. But this is talking about this negativity that Esau had, you know, and he ended up what? Selling his birthright. Amen. Look at 17. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing was coming, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears, because he wasn't looking. He wasn't looking. See, he didn't do that little small stuff I'm telling you all about. Look for that stuff and get rid of it. Huh? Despise it. Start despising it. Amen. It will move you close to God. Amen. I'm on verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempters. You know what mount is talking about here? This is talking about Mount Sinai. You remember when God was speaking out of the mountain? Huh? Talking to Israel, trying to save themselves, because Israel was trying to save themselves. Amen. They was trying to do this thing through the law. And you can't save yourself. Hear me, saints of God. You cannot save yourself. Amen. The law, all the law produced was lawbreakers. Please get that in your spirit. Amen. But they were trying to save themselves. But you can't, see the problem why you can't save yourself? Let me break it down. You know why you can't save yourself? Because you cannot approach God with sin. Please know that. That's why he's saying, get cleaned up, get cleaned up. You can't approach him with sin. Amen. And so they trying to do the law, and then it's a law in the law to say if you break one, you broke them all. So now you trying to do something that you cannot do. That's why he had to bring a better covenant. Amen. It was sin, come on, and death. That's what he was. So now he's, God is at Mount Sinai. That's what this scripture is saying. He's speaking out of that mountain. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they heard, they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They couldn't stand it. You know why they couldn't stand that word? This Israel listening to this voice in this mountain, they saying, Lord, stop. You know why they couldn't stand it? Because they couldn't do it. Huh? And they know we can't do that. Listen to the experience. And it was like thunder in the mountain. Amen. And they know they couldn't do it. Look, how does the scripture say? With voice that they heard, they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Please stop speaking the word to us. Amen. Look at verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. They couldn't do it. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Even if you touch that mountain, they was dying. Anything. Huh? God was speaking out of the mountain. Amen. Lord have mercy. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Huh? They would touch that mountain and die because of uncorrected sin. You all hearing me? Moses was saying, wait, hold up. Moses was going up to the mountain. They was like, we can't take that no more. Amen. Here go the but. Y'all be happy for this but right here. Here we go, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. That's us. Amen. We come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, this verse right here is speaking about us in Christ. Huh? See, we can approach God in Christ, in him. Amen? But you can't approach him outside of him because of sin. See, Christ died for the sin. So you can now approach him through Christ. That's why we love him. That's why we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Thank, because he took the sin reproach off of us. Amen. So now we can come. Let me read it to you again. I don't want you to miss it. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto innumerable company of angels. Amen. See, we can come like that. The only way to God is through Christ who paid the sin debt, saints. I want you to know that. Look at verse 23. To the general assembly, now he's talking to the general assembly, listen to this. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. It's speaking to everyone, leaving nobody out. Did you hear? And to this, and to these people, and to these people, and to these people. It's talking to everybody, right? Look what it's saying in verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Why is it saying that? It says, for all of us, including us, it's saying, see that we don't refuse him that was speaking. Because see, at Mount Sinai, what was they doing? They couldn't hear it. They was refusing that stuff. We don't want to hear it. We can't take it. But it's telling us now in Christ, see that just man married perfect. That's one. That's somebody in Christ. Amen. See that we don't refuse that word now. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, what were they talking about? That's the one he was speaking on earth through that mountain. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And see, here's the revelation. You all want some revelation? Jesus and God, when they speak, they in agreement. Huh? Speaking from earth or speaking from heaven, they in perfect agreement. Amen. Lord have mercy. It said, don't refuse that. They speaking the same thing. Don't refuse either one. They're in perfect agreement. Look at verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. So then, when he was speaking in Mount Sinai, he was shaking the earth. They said it was like thunder. They couldn't take it. Anybody touch it would die. Amen. Even a bird flying through it, it's dying. He's an awesome God. Amen. It says, whose voice then shook the earth, But now he have promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. He said, I'm going to shake it all. See, at Mount Sinai, he just shook the earth. But now he's shaking the whole universe. Huh? When he speaks now. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what is he talking about? Because I'm going to tell y'all right now, the shaking has began. Huh? He's starting. Where do God start his judgment? In the church. He's shaking it up. Huh? And he's trying to see who's going to leave and who's going to remain. Amen. That's what it's saying. He's saying, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. If you're shaken, he's going to remove you. Or of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken, that's us, because I'm not going to be shaken, may remain. I want to stay. Amen. Huh? It's a scripture that says if you love God, it's in Psalms. It's my favorite scripture. It's Psalms. What's that long Psalm? 119 and 165. It says when you love God, nothing will offend you. That's when you love God. You're married to him. I mean, we consummated the marriage. We're in a relationship. Huh? God don't believe in divorce. You all know that, right? That's a man thing. Jesus told him, Moses said, if we catch him in adultery, we can write him a decree of divorce. And Jesus said, nah, my father don't do that. Huh? And that's when his disciples started leaving him. They said, wait, what? Huh? The people started, oh, you crazy now. He said, Peter, you going to leave too? Where you going to go? Peter said, no, sir. You have the words of eternal life. Get that in your spirit. We not going, Lord. Huh? We not going to be shaken. You have the words to eternal life. We trying to live this thing forever. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm on verse 28, saints. I'm going to wrap this up. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know what he's saying here is hearing and doing. Amen. That's acceptable servants to God. High in respect with reverence. That's just high in respect. God, we are in all of you. It's shock and awe between us and God. Huh? Why? Because God is something else. Look at verse 29. For our God is what? A consuming fire. Praise God. Huh? So I'm saying all this to say, allow God to correct you, saints. Huh? And live. God's correction is on to life. That's what God's correction is on to. Not to death. He corrects you so you can live. Amen. He's a necessity. He's not an option. Amen. Correction is not unto death, but unto life. Whom the Father loves, he corrects. Amen. Father, thank you for your word on correction today, Lord. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor, Father.